There are many issues that plague youth. The church acts as a safe haven. It provides a place where youth can come together to hear the Word of God. Upper Room Media presents to you this Youth Talk, delivered from Sydney, Australia.
In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. So, like Dave said, we're continuing the series on what is your greatest fear, and today's talk is on fear of failure. So just a quick survey, does anyone have any exams coming up? Okay, that's a lot more hands than I expected. This is not the talk for you guys. anyone that just finished exams and waiting for results? Okay, yeah, that's not good. all right, so before we start, just a quick definition of failure. So does anyone have their own definition? Does anyone have any idea what failure might mean to them? All right, for the sake of time, I'm just going to tell you the Google definition. That is, failure is the state or condition of not meeting a desirable or intended objective and may be viewed as the opposite of success. So, failure, you set yourself a goal, you don't reach that goal, you feel a sense of failure. It's a disappointment. And so what I'll do is I'm going to start by telling you a little story. This is the story about how I ended up getting jacked with this talk. I actually got the message in between two parts of the same exam. So basically, I'll just explain it. This was about a month ago. We have an exam that's split over two parts, one on one Friday, and the next Friday is part two, okay? Part one, after part one, they give you your results, and after part one, I got my results, and I had failed that exam. So now, part two meant that I had to do better to get an overall pass. Say, for example, I got 40%. In part two, I had to get 60% to pass overall. So anyway, this is the sort of period that I'm in, and I get a message from David saying, hey, are you free on this date to give a talk? I was like, you know what, like, I can't say no, because, you know, I need God to bless me, so... yeah, I'm free. What do you need? Yeah, can you give a talk at youth meeting? Sure. What's the topic? Fear of failure. So I had two reactions to this. The first one was, yechreb betek. Like, you could have asked me to give a talk on anything else. Why failure? Like, right before my exam. My second thought was, you know what? It's actually, this might be a sign from God. This might be God's way of telling me, like, don't worry. What are you so afraid of? Don't fear failure. You're going to be fine. You're going to kill it. You're going to be all right. You're going to pass. So I was like, all right, that's a good sign. I'm going to take it as a sign. I went back to, you know, my study buddy. I'm like, bro, we're going to pass this exam. He's like, how do you know? I'm like, you know, like God like gave me a sign today. I'm giving a talk, fear of failure. We're not supposed to be scared. We're going to pass this exam. He's like, yeah, let's do it. We get to the exam on Friday. I'm like, let's get this pass. I'm excited. Let's do it. We sit the exam. I come out, you know, feeling confident. I killed that. Definitely better than last week. Don't worry. Call up my parents. Mom and dad, you know, I did so well, I'm so happy, blah, 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 we're going to be fine. A week later, the results come out, and I didn't come close to passing. I did not stand a chance against that pass mark. Actually, I got a call from the dean of our school, and she said, you know, like, how are you feeling? And I was like, look, I'm a little bit confused. I thought I did much better in part two than I did in part one. And her actual words were, yeah, no, Mark, you didn't. Like, it was pretty bad throughout, you know, like, and the fact that you think that might be part of the problem, so we need to talk about that. So anyway, I got this news, and I had about three reactions to this news of failing in this order. The first one is the normal reaction. I was devastated. I was miserable. I felt humiliated, you know, like my friends are passing and, you know, I failed. I felt really upset, you know, I can't go on my holiday now. I have to spend another month, you know, doing all this paperwork and it's just miserable. That miserable reaction lasted for about 10, 15 minutes. After that was not an abnormal reaction, but not a normal reaction either. And that was apathy. I started to feel really unconcerned, really indifferent towards failing. My exact thought was, you know, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. There's no point sooking. There's no point crying. There's no point, you know, wallowing in my grief. There's nothing I can do, whatever. Some, like, you know, careless people like me will experience it very early on, very like this reaction, you know, a bit of misery and then whatever, you know, who cares? Most people will get to that point. And that's where I was at for a couple of days. And if you stay at this place, you're setting yourself up for more failure. The third reaction is where you want to be. It's not saying that's where I was, that's where I ended up. No, I actually ended up very passively achieving this reaction. And that's only after someone spoke to me. And that reaction is excitement. Okay, so the first one is misery. The second one is apathy. They both make sense. And the third one was excitement. Let me explain. So I was with a friend and I was telling him how I failed and, you know, it meant I had to stay back a whole extra month and it meant I had to finish a bunch of paperwork and I couldn't go on my holidays and I had to cancel trips and this and that. And I'm telling him like my whole miserable story and the whole time they're looking at me and they're smiling. And I'm thinking, bro, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, why are you smiling? Like, I'm miserable. But I thought, you know, I'll take the very gentle approach. I asked, you know, hey, I'm sharing bad news with you. Like, why are you smiling? And his response was, I'm excited to see how God uses this failure in your life. That was his response. I'm excited to see how God uses this failure in your life. And it was really, I guess, a beautiful reaction to a very miserable situation. To a failure. It's a beautiful reaction. That's the third reaction. That's the Christian reaction. Excitement. And obviously to get to this point is not easy. Like failing in anything in life is very tough. So we'll talk about it today and we'll talk about four steps to overcoming this fear of failure and reaching a point where I can embrace failure with excitement. But before we talk about these steps, I'm going to make you guys a promise. And that promise is that I'm not going to compare my failure with yours, and I expect the same for each of you guys here, for everyone. We're not going to compare our failures, okay? For some people, because the thing is, all of us are going to look at failure in a different way. All of us perceive failure differently. For some of us, when we think of failure, we relate it to our education, that the worst possible thing I can fail at are my exams, my results. For others of us, we might not be so bothered by that type of failure. And when we think of failure, we think of it in terms of relationships, you know, that, you know, I've been rejected or, you know, an end of a relationship. We look at it as failure. For some people, that might not be a failure to them. That might actually be a success. And what they deem failure are in the little things. They see failure in the little things like, you know, I planned to go gym today, but I was lazy. I failed. Or I planned to do some study today, but I was too tired. I failed. And that to them is failure. For some, it might mean a spiritual failure. I've been trying to overcome this one sin and I've struggled time and time again. And then after struggling for so long, I fell into it again. That to me is failure. Okay, for all of us, failure is going to mean something differently. So we're not going to compare our failures. I just want everyone tonight to think of, you know, what your own individual definition of failure is. And that's how we're going to approach this talk. Okay, that's not part of my thing. But anyway. And there's only four slides to the PowerPoint, as you can see, so it's going to be a very short, very quick talk, hopefully. So the first step to overcoming this fear of failure and embracing it is to accept that there will be times in your life where you will fail. Okay, I know it sounds really miserable and really depressing, but accept that there will be times in your life where you won't necessarily reach your goals. Sometimes you can anticipate these times. So for example, like me, you know, I didn't study for my exams. I should have anticipated I'm going to fail. Other times, you might not anticipate it. You know, you prepared so well for this job interview, but they wanted to go a different way. Or, you know, whatever it is. It could be anything. You might not anticipate it, and it just comes. Or you worked so hard for this exam, but then you didn't get the results enough, you know, to pass. Whatever it is, accept that there will be times in your life that you might fail in some way. In John 16:33, Christ says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He says, you will have tribulation. You will fail. You will fall short. You might be rejected. And I'm not saying that to put you down. I'm not saying that to make everyone depressed here. Especially those of you that are still waiting for results and have exams. I'm saying that to let you know that even though we might fail, don't quit. Don't resign. Don't stop trying. Accept that you'll fail, but don't quit when you do. Don't wallow in your misery. Don't sit there in your sadness for too long. Accept it. Move on. And I know it's a lot easier said than done, but when we accept, we learn to endure. Does anyone know who, you guys all should know, Thomas Edison? Does anyone know what he's famous for? Just yell it out, put your hand up, whatever. Yeah, he's the inventor of the modern light bulb. But did you know that Thomas Edison had to go through 5,000 different types of light bulb fiber before he found the one that would invent the modern light bulb? He went through 5,000 different ones, you know? He accepted from the very beginning that he might fail over and over again, but he didn't quit. And sometimes we get so hung up on like achieving our goals that we forget that there's even a possibility that we might not realize our goals. There's a possibility we might not realize it. And so when we don't realize our goals, we think, enough. I tried once, it's over. Forget about it. I quit. For example, I tell myself that, you know, I need to have my dream job by the time I'm 25 years old. But I'm 24 and I haven't even gotten into the degree that will allow me to achieve that job. You know, do I quit? Or do I accept that, you know, failure is part of life and I should keep trying? Or I tell myself I have a vision of, you know, I want to be married by this certain age, or next year I should have been married by my, you know, by my plans. I should be married by next year and start, you know, having a family in 2 years' time. But, you know, I just got out of a long-term relationship. I need to accept that there are times in life that things will be out of my hands and I might fail. I might not realize my goals. Another example for all the NBA fans here, Kobe Bryant. Okay? Kobe Bryant, whether you follow basketball or not, you know Kobe Bryant. You know his name. Okay? He was one of the most successful, talented basketballers in the history of the game. In fact, when he retired, he was the third highest point scorer in the history of the game. The third highest. But another stat he held was he missed the most shot attempts in the history of the NBA. More than anyone else. More than anyone else. He missed the most shots. But he didn't quit. He accepted that he would fail time and time and time again, missing game-winning shot after game-winning shot. But he kept going. He didn't quit. Same with Thomas Edison again. Because he accepted that he would fail, he didn't quit. Whenever he did, over 5,000 times. When I accept that I will fail, I'll be able to endure. Okay, so that's step one. Accept that at times I will fail and endure through it. Now for step two, I'm going to play you guys a very short video. On the Gold Coast, we've been watching on Netflix, I don't know if anyone's come across it, Avatar, The Last Airbender. People are nodding their heads, so yeah. I know I sound like a big geek right now, but I don't care. It's a great show. And in the show, they're preparing for this big battle. And they've already failed so many times to the point where one of the characters just says, you know, let's just cut our losses. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to let the response to this statement introduce our next step.
Invasion, maybe we wouldn't be in this mess. Maybe sometimes it's just better to call it quits before you fail.
No, it's not. Look, Sokka, you're going to fail a lot before things work out.
That's supposed to make me feel better?
Even though you'll probably fail over and over and over again.
Seriously, not helping.
You have to try every time. You can't quit because you're afraid you might fail.
Could you guys hear that? The last line's the important one. You can see now why I failed exams. So at the end, he says, you can't quit because you think you might fail. So that's our step two. Don't focus on the failure. Don't focus on the failure. Our problem sometimes is we spend too long focusing on failing that it's in fact the reason we end up failing. I like to use this analogy of, you know, imagine you're driving and on the side of the road, you see a tree and you look at the tree and you say, don't hit that tree. Don't hit that tree. Don't hit that tree. What's going to happen if I'm looking at the tree? I'm going to hit the tree because I'm not focusing on anything else. I'm focusing on the tree. So I'm moving towards the tree. When the simple response should just be to turn, to ignore the tree and look at the road. Don't focus on the tree. Don't focus on your failures. And when I think of this concept, I think of this image of St. Peter walking on water. Rafik, could we just get the next slide? No, the next one. No, the one behind that one. Yeah. This image of St. Peter walking on water. There he is. He's walking. He's stumbling a little bit. In front of him is the Lord. And then he begins to drown. What happened? What made him drown? We'll just quickly read just three verses from Matthew 14. And you guys can just look at the nice, beautiful painting. It says this, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. It says, when he saw the wind, when he stopped looking at the Lord and he looked to the storm, he had lost sight of God and started looking at, you know, the chaos. He started looking at the thing that would make him drown. And we do that often in our lives. We focus on the storm that we're going through and we ignore the calmer of the storm standing before us. And that leads us to step three. In our failures, during our failures, focus on God. So like we said, don't focus on your failures. We need to shift our attention now towards God. Once I've failed. I was reading a study on the psychology of insecurity. And in the study, it reads that there are three main types of insecurities. Type three is an insecurity driven by perfectionism. So some people set such high standards for themselves that when they don't meet those standards, they start to feel inadequate or incomplete and insecure. That's type three insecurity. Type two insecurity is this social anxiety, which a lot of us might suffer from in certain situations. And, you know, we're very familiar with. Type one is an insecurity based on recent failure or rejection. And you can look this up. The number one cause for insecurity is failure. Failure causes us to think less of ourselves. It causes us to doubt ourselves and doubt our capabilities, doubt what we can do. Because I guess we focus so much on our recent failures that we begin to feel depressed. We begin to feel insecure. We're focusing so much on it. It's at this point that we need to shift our attention towards God. And so three quick things about God and failure that we need to know before we talk about this. The first thing is God does not want to see you fail. He doesn't. He doesn't want to see you fail. Okay? He says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He doesn't want to see you fail. Don't think, oh, God wanted me to fail. That's not true. He doesn't want to see you fail. He knows how it makes us feel. But the second thing is God can still use my failures. No matter what failure I'm going through, God can use that failure. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, when St. Paul was struggling with the thorn in the flesh, he says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," this is St. Paul now, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." God does not see failure the same way we see it. God sees failure as an opportunity to work within us, to show his power within us. And so the third thing is, when I focus on God in my failures, or in any tribulation for that matter, I'm endowed with this strength that I didn't know was even possible. And so to illustrate this point, I just thought I'd play another clip for you guys. This, some of you guys might have seen it. It's from a Christian sports film in the early 2000s. Just enjoy it. Can you hear it?
Coach, how strong is Whit? lot stronger than we are.
You already risked Friday night down as a loss, bro?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
Oh, let's see this.
What, you want to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
That's all right. We don't need to watch it. I'll just explain what happens. Has anyone not watched it before? Have you guys all seen it? Yeah, most of you have seen it, so you sort of know what happens. I'll just explain quickly what happens. So I'll narrate what's happening. So basically, this guy that's on the ground with blindfold, he just said that their team is going to lose on the weekend. And so the coach says to him, I want you to do this death crawl, what he's doing now, and get to the 50-yard line. But I want you to do it blindfolded and just listen to my voice. So don't look at where you're going. Just listen to my voice. And he's doing it with someone on his back that's roughly 100 pounds, or so he thinks. And now he's walking and he's sort of complaining. As you can see, he's doing pretty well at this point. He hasn't started complaining yet. You'll know when he does. The team's laughing at him. All right. There he goes. He's starting to complain, like it hurts, you know. He's about to stop. He doesn't know where he is. He's only meant to get to the 50-yard line, which is halfway. Okay. And the coach keeps relaying the same two words, you know, keep moving, keep going. And he's still complaining, you know, it hurts. The weight on my shoulders is too heavy. I don't have the strength. But he's just going based on the coach's words and the coach's voice. And the team's like standing up. Can you hear it? All right, we'll stop the video there. Basically, so he was meant to get to the halfway line, and what you would have seen if we finished the video was he actually made it the whole way. He made it the whole length of the field. And it turns out that the weight he was carrying was actually heavier than he first thought. So he thought he was carrying a 100-pound man. He was actually 160 pounds. And what I love about this video is that, you know, if the coach wasn't there in his ear, if the coach's voice wasn't the only thing he was focusing on, there's no way he would have made it the whole way. There's no way. If he had his eyes open and he was focusing on that goal, he would have just stopped. But he didn't. Or he was complaining, it hurts. You know, the weight on my shoulders is too heavy. It burns. You know, I don't have the strength. But the coach's words, two words, keep going. Keep going. And that was enough for him to keep, you know, moving forward, to keep fighting. It's so easy for me to just give in to my failures and feel sorry for myself, to again, to wallow in my grief, to stay in that miserable state. It's hard for me to hear the voice of God telling me keep going. It's hard for me to redirect my focus towards God and ask Him to give me the strength to go through my failures. But He is the only one who can give me the strength in that moment. All I need to do is to redirect my focus to Him. I need to go to Him in prayer and tell Him, God, I'm miserable. I'm a failure. I need You to give me strength. I need You to make me strong now. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then in Psalm 76, 23, it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So when I am going through my failure, I need to turn from my failure and look towards the Lord, and that's the place where I'll receive my strength. So that's step 3, to redirect my focus to God. And then step 4, our final step, is when I fail, thank God. When I fail, thank God. And this is the one I guess we're all going to struggle with the most. The first three, okay, I can accept that I'm going to fail. I can accept that there's going to be times in my life when I fail. Okay, I won't focus so much on my failure. All right, I'll pray. When I fail, I'll pray. But to thank God when I fail, it's a little bit extreme. But the idea of this comes, where I got this concept from, was a really beautiful short and sweet sermon by Bunyan Aub that you guys can listen to on Upper Room Media, available on Apple and Google stores. And I highly recommend it. You just go to your sermons, your categories, you go to short and sweet, and Mary George is really happy right now. You go to your short and sweet, you find the Bunyan Aub, failure is a key. And in it, I'm not going to dwell too much on this point because he explains it really, really well. It's only 6 minutes long, and the most beneficial thing I can say to you guys is to go home and listen to it tonight. But I will mention some of his main points. And the first thing he says is, if you are passing through some failure, give thanks to the Lord because you will see His power working in you. Be excited for what God has in store for your future, for what God has planned for your failure. Because God can make success out of anything. God can work anything through any circumstance I might find myself in. And even if you don't feel thankful, thank Him anyway. Thank Him until you are thankful. Why? Because the real problem we have with failure is that, I guess, the things that belong to us or we thought belong to us have fallen short. For example, my knowledge. I thought I had enough knowledge to pass exam, but I didn't, and I failed. My wisdom. I thought I had enough wisdom to deal with this relationship, but I didn't, and it ended, and it failed. My plans. You know, I was meant to have this, you know, dream job by this stage in my life, but I don't. I failed. The things that I have, or I rely too much on the things that I think I have, and when they fall short, I have nothing else to fall back on. I have nothing else to rely on. So what do we do? What then do we rely on when our plans fail, when our knowledge fails, when the things that belong to us fail? Bunyan Aub responds and says this, God in His mercy sometimes allows us to taste the failure, because when we taste the failure, we look up to Him. And when He comes very late to solve everything, then we realize, it's not me. I can't do anything on my own. That's why we rejoice in poverty. So when you fail, give thanks to God. Because when you fail, that's when you learn to rely on Him. And He will show you His great plans for your life. He will show you the future He has prepared for you through whatever failures you might be passing through. So just quickly, the four steps one last time. Step 1, accept that you'll fail. Step 2, don't focus on your failure. Step 3, redirect that focus towards God. And step 4, when you fail, give thanks to Him, because it's in our failures that we learn to rely on Him and He shows us His plan for our life. And glory be to God forevermore. Amen.
All right, so we have some questions. I'll say them quickly. Sorry if we don't answer all of them. So the first question is, I'm stuck in the apathetic state where I don't care about failing in my exams or anything. How do I get over this and find motivation and drive again?
Does anyone want to answer that? So you're stuck, what is it? Stuck in the apathetic state and I have no motivation. So I guess Has anyone read Atomic Habits? No? Okay. One of the concepts in Atomic Habits is setting yourself very small, achievable goals. Okay? When I set myself really big goals, this is a problem that I guess a lot of us fall in. When I set myself really big goals, what I find is that I'll fail in most of them. Okay? For example, I'm going to go to the gym every day at 6 a.m. Okay? That's not going to happen. I'm not even going to go tomorrow at 6 a.m. I might wake up 6:30 if I'm lucky, turn off, snooze the alarm 5 times, 7:30, no, I'm not going to go. And I fail in that. I set myself really big goals to the point where I don't give myself a chance of succeeding. And what happens when I fail so often, so big so often, is I become indifferent. I become indifferent to failure. It means nothing to me. One thing that the book explains is setting yourself small, achievable goals that, you know, will inspire me to grow, inspire me to, you know, to progress in my, I guess, my overall long-term plans. And when I see that I'm achieving these little goals day by day, you know, I'll find that, you know, I'll find more motivation to, I guess, prepare or start working on larger goals. For example, say I want to pray 15 minutes every single day. It's a bit tough, especially in the morning. You know, I wake up, I have work, I have uni, whatever. It might be a bit tough. I want to pray 15 minutes every morning. What the book suggests, or the book doesn't suggest this, but Anthony Messiah has a nice spin on this book. And he says what he does every morning before he prepares his cup of coffee, what he'll do is he'll pray one psalm. The first day, I pray one psalm. And it gives him a sense of accomplishment. The next day, I'll pray two psalms. The day after that, I'll pray three psalms. All of that before, you know, drinking his cup of coffee. And if he doesn't do it, then he can't drink his cup of coffee. Okay, so his motivation to pray in the morning becomes that cup of coffee. Okay, does that make sense to you guys? So I have a goal in mind. I want to pray 15 minutes every morning. What is my motivation? My motivation is, you know, my cup of coffee. Okay, so I set myself small, achievable goals with a reward. And that will help me, I guess, find the motivation in achieving whatever goals that I have in mind. Obviously, like I said, when we think of failure, we think really large scale. The important thing is to go back to that small scale and just work on, like we spoke about here, overcoming the apathy and finding motivation in achieving goals. So I guess that's just one way of looking at it. I hope that answers your question, whoever you are. If you're apathetic about failing exams, I know I can understand.
How can we know whether failure is God guiding us to a different path to fulfill his will, or we should continue trying?
That's a good question too. So how can we know if a failure... So like the thing that I'm thinking of is, I guess, you know, people who, you know, try to get into a certain degree and they don't get in after 1 year, 2 years, how do you know when to stop? How do you know if that's God closing a door on you? Or to keep trying? All right, so the way I think about it again is this. Something nice a friend once told me was this. The man who is close to God can make any decision in life with full confidence that God will help or guide that decision, with full confidence that God will support that decision. Okay, so long as it is done in his presence, so long as it is done in the circumstance of a relationship with God. So you don't, like, if you ask someone on the street, how do I know, you know, whether I should keep going for this or should stop, blah, 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 they won't know the answer. But the person that knows the answer is the person that has a relationship with God. God never wants to leave us. God will never leave us walking on our own, so long as I strive to have a relationship with him. So my answer to that is a simple one. Seek guidance of, you know, your spiritual father, but also, and more importantly, spend time in the presence of God. Spend time taking this, you know, situation to him. God, you know, are you trying to lead me on another path? Are you trying to close this door on me? Or am I supposed to keep trying? What is it? And whatever you feel more convicted, that's the direction that God is guiding you. Because if you forget everything else, remember this, The person who has a relationship with God can make any decision in life with full confidence that God will support him.
Maybe just we'll do one more question. If you're failing at your spiritual life, i.e. praying and reading your Bible daily, how do you then turn to God when your lack of this is the causing failure?
Okay, so I'm thinking of two Bible examples just really quickly off the top of my head that sort of exemplify this sort of situation. When I think of failure in the Bible, I think of two people. The first one is Jonah. Okay, so Jonah was set a task by God. And what did Jonah do? He turned away from that task and he went in his own way. And it was just a massive failure all around on Jonah's part. And yet, God found a way to bring him back onto that path. And when, you know, like, the thing I always think about is God, like we said before, God doesn't want to see you fail. God doesn't want to see you miserable. He doesn't want to see you pitiful. So when I do redirect my focus towards him, he's never going to say, you know, nah, it's too late. You know, you, especially in my spiritual life, it's too late. You had your chance. You had your opportunity. I gave you a chance to serve me and you failed. No, he gives us another chance and another chance. And there's no such thing as, all right, I failed in my spiritual life. There's no coming back. If everything else, that's the one thing we can never fully fail in if we keep turning back to God. And the same happened with Jonah. While he was in the belly of the whale, what did he do? He turned back to God. And he didn't turn back to him in a, like, you know, help me sort of way. It was exactly like, you know, we mentioned before, it was a thankful way. You know, out of the belly of the whale, out of the belly of Sheol, I've called upon your name and you answered me. You answered me, even though we know the answer hadn't already, you know, come. But you answered me. It was a thankful, very gracious prayer to the Lord. And obviously we know how the story ended, that the Lord, you know, redeemed him and brought him back onto the original task. So no, even if I fail spiritually, God finds a way to bring me back. And I should never be embarrassed in front of God. You know, if I fail in an exam, I can be embarrassed in front of people. But I can never be embarrassed in front of God spiritually. If I fail in my spiritual life, he wants me to come back to him because that's his job. He is a redeemer. You know, Abuni always uses this example. You know, if I go up to a teacher and I say to them, you can't teach me. You know, that's an insult to the teacher because that's their job. That's what they're trained to do. And the same thing with God. I can never go up to God and say, you can't save me. You can't redeem me. That's an insult to him. So he can redeem me. So if I, you know, my lack of spirituality is the reason that I've failed in my spiritual life, that is not an obstacle to coming back to God and asking him to work with me. Was that the question? I don't even remember. So no, don't be embarrassed in front of God and trust that, you know, his job is a redeemer and he's able to redeem you.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.